Shalom, Berachot. Many blessings of peace. This is Dr. Akiva Gamliel of B'nai Noach Torah Institute and Rock or Audio Visual Lending Library. Welcome. Thank you for joining with me. Dear ones, we're in our Divrei Torah Parshat, our weekly Parsha, and we're in the third book of Moshe, Vayikra, and we're in Parshat Bechar Bekutei, and that would be from Pasuk Kuf Hei Aleph to Kuf Zion Lamed Dalet. So that would be Leviticus chapter 25, verse 1, through chapter 27, verse 34. Our Divrei Torah Parshat is in the loving memory of Mr. Gary Lee Belk and Mr. Donald Wayne Belk. May they rest in peace. Dear ones, before we begin our Divrei Torah Parshat, I'm requesting that you remember the Rebbetzin and myself in prayer this week especially. We're facing some unique issues. We definitely need the hand of God in our steps, our decisions. We need to be guided and to do the right things. So we're asking that everyone really, really take this seriously and pray. And we want to thank you in advance. Our Divrei Torah Parshat is entitled Elevating Others. And it comes in a rather peculiar place in HaTorah. And we have notes here that I would encourage you to read. The notes talk a little bit about, as I was a child growing up, how I worked from a young age, and talks a little bit about my father, how he was an orphan at the age of 5, and how he was mistreated, God forbid. And it talks a little bit about the Rebbetzin and myself, working at B'nai Noach Torah Institute, Jewish Path, Seven Commands, etc. And how, through a progression of things, our lives have changed. A few years ago, before I was injured, no one ever dreamed that I would be here at this situation today and that the Rebbetzin would be here at this situation today after her cancer surgery, God forbid. But each of us come to places in our lives where we have to face physical issues, mental issues, spiritual issues, issues with each other, issues with friends, issues with classmates, issues with the world. And one of the things that I'm keenly aware of is that when we face these issues, without a doubt, one of the most important things that we can possibly do is to elevate each other. And I'm speaking and sharing about an area that I find myself woefully inadequate at times. And I say at times because it's easy to elevate, God willing, on days when things are going well. But it's a lot more difficult to elevate on days when one is facing their own private and personal struggles. And so when our life is full of injuries, when our life is full of sicknesses, and we face these struggles, when our life is full of tensions with our children, when our life is full of stresses at the workplace, when our life is full of financial issues, that's when elevating others becomes more of a challenge. So when we're on a good roll, when our health is good, when we're not injured, when we're doing well financially, etc., etc., often that might not be the challenge as it would be when we're facing these issues. Now, when we look at our discussion of the weekly Parshat, we turn to Perek Kuf Hei. And we actually need to begin in a place that makes a little bit of sense to us. And so actually, I think what we're going to do is we're going to start with verse 41. That's Pasuk Mem Aleph. Then he and his children shall depart from you and return to his own family, and he shall return to his ancestral state. We're talking about a time when a man is a slave and his family is a slave, and we're talking about when the Jubilee year comes and people are released. For they are my servants whom I bought from the land, brought from the land of Mitzrayim, and they shall not be sold in the marketplace as slaves. You must not rule over them to crush them. Now, when we're talking here about you must not rule over them to crush them, the very first word is lo, and the second word is tereda. The third word is bo, and the fourth word is befarecha. And we're going to see the word tereda and the word befarecha again in verse 46. So I want you to please make note of those two words. They're important. They're also in the notes that we're going to be discussing. Now, we continue. Your slaves and your maidservants that you shall possess from the nations that surround you, from them you may purchase slaves and maidservants. Also from the children of the sojourner who reside with you, from them you may purchase slaves, and from their families that live among you, that were born in your land, and all these shall be your permanent possession. Now we're going to continue. You shall with them as inheritance to your children after you as hereditary property. You shall keep them in servitude permanently. Now here is the beginning of where we're going to be talking about elevating. However, regarding your brethren, B'nai Yisrael, man over his brother, you must not rule over him to crush him. Let's look at the last four words of this pasuk. They're repeated again. We mentioned them just a little earlier. Lo, tereda, bo, befarech. And so we see here the same four words that we mentioned in verse 43. Now, we're going to look at the gematria of these two words in our notes in a little while. But before we do that, we want to look at this logically. Okay, we have an individual who is a servant. We could use the word slave, but I prefer to use the word servant. This means that they're not free to do everything that they want to do, that they have a lot of restrictions on them, and that they actually belong to someone else. Can you imagine what it would be like to be a slave, God forbid? Not to be able to go where you want, do what you want, not to have the freedom to travel where you want, to be actually owned by another human being. It's a horrible thought in many ways. We're not going to go there. That's not what our discussion is about. So we have a slave. This is not a slave of the nations. This is a slave of B'nai Yisrael. This means that the slave is Jewish. And the Torah is telling us that we have certain obligations to a Jewish slave. A Jewish owner has obligations from the Torah, commandments of HaTorah, mitzvot of HaTorah, for a Jewish slave. And this is where our instruction begins. The Torah tells us that we're lo tirda. The word lo means no. We're not to do something. And the word tirda means we're not to rule. We're not to subdue. We're not to subjugate. We're not to tyrannize over. And so the Torah is telling us these are the things we're not to do. Now, we think of a slave as being in a lowly, humble, very, very, very reduced setting. And so when the Torah says to us that the word is lo tirda, that tells us if this is for the lowest slave, if this is for the person who's at the very bottom of the rung, if this is for the person that has the least acceptability, so to speak, the least prestige, the least of anything, the very least among our brethren, a slave, a servant. If the Torah is telling us, lo, tirda, then we also understand that that's going to apply to everyone from the very lowest, most humble situation to the very highest position. The Kohen Gadol, for example, or the King of Israel, for example. We continue on. The next word is bow. Bow befarcha. And we're not to crush him. When we look at the word befarcha, it means crush, oppress, break, means to tear down. Now, dear ones, one of the saddest things in life is when we mistreat other human beings, and when we mistreat other human beings that are in our household and other human beings that we love. It's a very sad thing to do this. I've spoke with a lot of people, and in the rush of a disagreement, it's easy to say coarse and harsh words. It's easy to make statements that one later regrets. And so, this is what I was saying earlier when we began. When everything's going well, when there's no real issues in front of us, one seems to have plenty of capacity to love. But the real test, the real challenge comes when we as individuals are faced with difficult circumstances. And so, I would think in terms of patience. When one thinks in terms of patience, one should think in terms of calmness. And when I think about calmness, there's a lot of possibilities that actually arise out of this. You think about when one is calm. Just think about for a minute when one is calm. We have tests in our life with people that we come into contact with. And in the tests that we have in life, a great deal of patience is required. And so a great deal of calmness is required. And calmness is required even in situations of provocation. And in fact, calmness is really more necessary in situations of provocation than when everything is going so smooth and so beautifully. So on the one hand, we have to be careful with what we say and the words that we select and the words that we choose to use. And the other is we need to be calm. And then in being calm, it's just not enough to be calm, but we sometimes have to be calm in the face of provocation. And in the situations where an individual is literally provoking us. We've all been in these kind of situations. And I have to say that I wish that I were a much better example. But I can tell you this, it's never too late to start. It's never too late to start. And so we have to just start wherever we're at. And we have to look at ourselves and we have to say, what do I want out of myself? What kind of a human being do I want to be? Now, you might remember a few weeks ago, we briefly discussed words. And we said there's some words that we shouldn't use. And so those words, we said we should take them, we should put them in a vault, and we should lock the vault, put a big old chain around it, take it out, and bury it in the backyard really deep, and cover it in concrete, so it's really hard to get to. And so that's what we should do with the words that are unpleasant, unkind words. what we should do with words that are good. We should take them out and we should water them like flowers so they grow and they produce and they give off beauty. And so in situations where we're faced with struggle, in situations where we're faced with difficulty, our goal needs to be to elevate others. And so we see in the Gematria, when we have the word Tirda, which again means to rule, to subdue, to subjugate, etc. Another word where when the letters are rearranged, the word is Tehedar. And Tehedar means favor. So when we have the lowliest, the poorest, the most humble of individual, where the Torah is instructing us not to rule over them, not to subjugate them, mystically we see when the letters are rearranged, the word is spelled Tehedar, and that means favor. So that means we take this one who's down and lowly and sad, and we elevate them to a position of favor. So each of us face this unique challenge. In trying times, we can choose to retaliate, we can choose to be angry, we can choose to put down, or we can choose to take a new path. And we can choose to take a path of embracing and showing favor and kindness. And so I pray that for all of us, that we will take this as a challenge to be better people and a challenge to elevate others instead of to retaliate when others are provocative. Now, in the second word, we have befarka. And befarka means to oppress, to break. And when we turn the words around, we could have boker, which means mourning, and we can have the word karav, which means to come near. And so sometimes when a person is having a really bad day, what's really good is we come near to them. We can come near to them in words, we can come near to them in prayers, we can come near to them spiritually, we can come near to them physically. Sometimes when a person's really mad, if you just walk up and you say, can we just hug, can we just smile, and you take a different course, that's elevating others. And this is the course that all of us should make as a goal in our life. I am making this as a goal in my own life. I want to be a better person. I want to do things on a higher level. That doesn't mean I'm a bad person. That doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean that any of us are necessarily bad people. It just means that there are times in our life when we're faced with challenges. It's really important to remember this lesson. If there's anything I can stress, remember to elevate others. So let's begin practicing in advance. Let's begin thinking in advance of how would I respond? How would I react when I'm faced with a struggle, when I'm faced with someone who is irritated with me, someone who is trying to provoke me? Elevate others. The Torah teaches us mystically that these are the lowest on the totem pole, so to speak. These are on the lowest rung. These are the servants. These are the most humble, the most meek, the ones that have to work very hard for a living and that they're owned by other people. And so if we're to treat them in this manner, then as we progress up the ladder, we progress to maybe young children, progress to members of our household, a brother, a sister, a cousin, a niece, a nephew, to our spouse, to each other, to our parents, to our grandparents. There's all kinds of relationships here. And then, of course, the relationships outside of the house, business and working relationships. This applies in every situation. Our goal is to elevate others. And the Torah teaches us mystically, that is to favor them, that is to draw near to them. And so when we're drawing near to somebody, it's hard to draw near to somebody if we're angry at them. It's difficult to draw near to someone if we're if we're using coarse and harsh language. And so, if we're to draw near to them and if we're to favor them, we have to find the words that will attract them to us. We have to find the words that will draw them close to us. And this is how we can elevate others. Let's pray that we all will follow this as an example of what God intends for each of us, B'nai Yisrael, B'nai Noach, for all of us, and that we, from this day forward, will be better people. Let's make that our goal. I pray that Hashem bless each and every individual that listens to this audio, and that we will be elevated, and that we will elevate others, even in challenging and trying times. Thank you for joining with me. Shalom, shalom.